Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday. This hour brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool, get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up, another way they make you smile. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get back into the Braves at 11:40, the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams will be in studio. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, we're searching for some good listener-created rejoins. Every time we come back for break, we play something that says, welcome back to Andy and Randy. The ones that have been made for us by the station are fine. This don't sound exactly like what correct. The show sounds like, it's, I think, right?
Yes. I think that's the nice way of saying it.
Yeah. So we're leaning on you guys to help us out. Send them over to Wendy on Twitter, at Wendy Radio. And once we get some, we'll start incorporating them, basically. I mean, we'll try to get them in the system as quickly as we possibly can. All right. With all that said, as we always do to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go!
All right, Randy, of course, I've got a list. We'll get to that in a minute. I've got a ridiculous theory that an NFL player has to try to jumpstart his career or restart his career or start his career over or whatever. But let's start with what Mina Kimes of ESPN said about Matt Ryan. She was on a Bleacher Report podcast and was just talking football in general, but then they got into quarterbacks and inevitably led to talking about Matt Ryan. And she said, I think he's the most underrated quarterback in the NFL right now. He was excellent in 2018 by every statistical measure, every advanced metric. He was a good quarterback. And yet, people sleep on him, essentially. Mm-hmm. So as far as underrated quarterbacks go, how do you feel about Mina Kimes' assessment that Matt Ryan is number one on that list?
Who's she talking about?
As long as we're making lists.
Who's she talking about is underrated?
Yeah, see, that's I don't understand
either.
Yeah,
like, because players, the guys who it matters, don't think Matt Ryan, don't know that Matt Ryan's a hell of a player. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't rate him as underrated. They know how good Matt Ryan is because he's one of the best quarterbacks in all of ball. But he doesn't get that national exposure, and we always talk about it. I mean, because he's just a different – he's laid back. He's a button up. He's what you want in your franchise quarterback, button up. You know, don't say the wrong thing. That's why people, and it still amazes me that people get, it's still a topic of when he said get bleeping set. Like, who cares?
I mean,
I'm sure Matt Ryan has said worse things.
Of course he has.
All right? It just happened to get caught on a microphone.
It's just the rare example of you seeing that.
Yeah.
Right? It happens.
It happens.
But you don't see it all that often. And I'm with you. I think that's part of it. I mean, if he wanted to be like Russell Wilson in every commercial, I'm sure he could be in commercials.
Yeah.
He was in a Gatorade commercial a couple of years ago, and whatever. That's not really his personality. I also think that he's not really underrated by big football fans around the country. We talk about this all the time, Randy, how you and I have both had this experience individually at different times. Like being in other places in the country, covering the NFL in other places in the country, you playing in the NFL in other places in the country, and having the opinion of Matt Ryan that you had. When I moved to Atlanta a handful of years ago, I was like, all right, this is great. I'm looking forward to working at the Falcons flagship. They got a great franchise quarterback. I mean, when you have a franchise quarterback, you've got the ability to be relevant in the NFL every single year, as long as they're able to put some other guys around him. And oh, by the way, they have Julio and some other really talented players. I couldn't believe it when I got here. Some of the first things I heard, I was literally listening to this radio station when I first got here, driving around, listening to people call in and suggest that Matt Schaub get snaps in the preseason to give Matt Ryan some competition.
Dude.
And I was like, but why? Because is he hurt? Like, what are we talking? Oh, because you don't think he's good.
Dude, blew.
What?
Blew my mind. I was like, hold on. Huh? Do you know the quarterback that I had to suffer through most of my career? Are you serious?
We've heard about some
you know,
of them.
So no. But yeah, it threw me off. But no, Matt Ryan, I mean, if you look around the league and you look at the players, you look at the personnel guys and coaches, whatever you want to, everybody knows Matt Ryan is a top 10 quarterback in this league. Everybody. I mean, there you won't find too many that won't say that he's not. And, you know, I mean, but again, if he wanted, I think if he wanted to be in all that stuff, he would. I think his focus is being a quarterback of the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is when you start talking about quarterbacks that aren't underrated or quarterbacks that are rated higher than Matt Ryan is, and that if you're talking like Q rating in terms of how you resonate with fans and across the country and all of that, mm-hmm. the difference is championship, and that's it. If they had won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, we would not be having these conversations about Matt Ryan.
You would hear nothing about
it. If they win the Super Bowl this year, we will not be having these conversations about Matt Ryan. Fair or unfair? I mean, look, he's a quarterback. That's what comes with it. You get more blame than you deserve. You get more credit than you deserve at times, too. But that's really the only difference, because all the other guys that he's on in that category with, except for Patrick Mahomes, who's only done it for one season, and I'll still put Matt Ryan above Patrick Mahomes because he's done it for 11 years and Mahomes did it once. They have championships. They've got rings on their fingers. Many of them multiple rings on their fingers, and that's basically the difference. I don't know. Underrated is a weird word to me.
Yeah,
I think he's rated accurately. I think he's underappreciated.
That's better. Yeah. I think the underappreciated is a little bit better than the underrated type.
All right, you ready for list season? You ready for another list?
Yeah.
It's list season.
All right, today's list, Randy. You ready? The top 10 running backs in the NFL.
All right, by who?
By Jared Dubin.
Why are we giving Jared Dubin time on our show?
Well, he wrote an article on CBSSports.com that they published, and so here we are.
All right, let me hear it.
All right, you're ready.
Right, let me hear it.
Why don't you do this first? Who should be number one?
I think Todd Gurley should be number
one. Todd Gurley is number nine.
Okay.
According to Jared Dubin.
Okay, so I'm already done with Jared Dubin. don't really care to hear no more Jerry.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm good on that.
Do you want to know who?
Todd Gurley's at nine?
He's at nine. Todd Gurley is number nine.
Okay, who's in front of Todd?
Eight other people.
Thank you, Andy. I kind of figured that one out.
All right, we've done enough lists to where you understand how lists work.
All right, let me hear it.
I'll go in descending order, eight through one. Okay, you ready? And we'll go Todd Gurley versus player that I say.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Todd Gurley is behind Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is number eight.
All right.
All right, that's pretty good. Todd Gurley is behind at number seven, David Johnson. And aren't they like in the same boat in that if you're going to dock them for anything, it's injuries?
All right, go ahead.
But Todd, anyway.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Okay. I'm sorry.
At number six,
okay,
three spots in front of Todd Gurley is Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm.
That one you can at least live with,
okay,
right?
Maybe.
You can live with. If Le'Veon was number one.
Le'Veon's at six?
Yeah, he's at
six. That's even that's funny.
So Le'Veon Bell's at six and Todd Gurley's at nine.
Dude, go ahead. Come on, man.
Melvin Gordon, number five.
No, bring him down.
Okay.
He's not better than Todd Gurley. He's not better than Le'Veon Bell. He can ball, but he ain't better than
Alvin Kamara is at number four.
He can ball.
He's really good.
He's really good.
Not as good as
Todd. As good as those two.
Christian McCaffrey is at number
two. Get the hell out of here, man. Christian McCaffrey.
At number three. He's the third best running back in the
NFL.
Yeah, you want to know what Jared Dubin said about him?
I don't care what Jared Dubin said.
You don't?
Said about him.
You sure? All right, we'll keep going.
Miss me with that.
Okay, number two is Ezekiel Elliott of the Dallas Cowboys.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. And number one?
Saquon Barkley. Why is Saquon Barkley the number one running back? Really. He was great last year. We did it 1 year. Great. He was great, great, great. I'll give you all that. He did it 1 year.
He became just the seventh player in NFL history to run for at least 1,000 yards and catch at least 90 passes in the same season.
Dude, he balled.
Over 2,000 yards from scrimmage last year.
Balled last
75%
year.
Catch rate.
Balled.
I hate catch rate.
He balled.
I think catch rate's a dumb stat.
Yes. Hey, he balled. Okay, you got me. He balled. Come on, man. This is just – okay. You can put Saquon in top three. Christian McCaffrey? Really?
Number three.
He had a great year last year.
He did.
Number three?
Yeah.
In the entire league.
I get that's
in front of Le'Veon.
Jared Dubin. Jared Dubin says so.
Do you think that Christian McCaffrey's not better than Alvin Kamara?
No, he's not.
Okay.
And you know who's a better pass-catching running back than both of them?
Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley.
So can we please put – put Jerry and his list out to the passion and run some. Oh, I was about to say something crazy.
Look, man, it's list season, so that's where we're going.
Man,
now, speaking of Ezekiel Elliott, we've been talking about this the last couple of days. Ezekiel Elliott is not going to serve a suspension. He's not going to be punished by the NFL for the incident in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
We agreed that that was the right move. Here's the thing, though. If Ezekiel Elliott even so much as comes anywhere near getting in trouble,
oh, he's suspended.
He's definitely getting suspended next time.
And it's so funny because you remember after the meeting with the commission, he has this little bitty apology or whatever. I bet Roger told him that. All right, Zeke, I'm gonna let you off. Write an apology.
Go say this. Yep.
Yeah, that's how. But no, Zeke. If you look at Zeke, he's got to find a way to stay out of that. you got to put yourself in better position, because I know the Cowboys, well, they got to take care of Dak, and then you got to take care of Amari. And, you know, Zeke, he has that fifth-year option, but Zeke has got to find a way to stay, because Jerry's going to pay him. Jerry wants to pay him, but you can't keep putting yourself in situations like this, just little stuff like this where you're on camera. And yeah, the dude flop, but don't put yourself in that situation. You know what I'm saying? Just, like I always say, just have you – they have a no-chill zone nowadays, man. Okay, I'm in trouble. I shouldn't have been out here doing this. You know what? I'm a write an apology on my Instagram, and I will be forgiven. Mm-hmm. And it's not like that anymore.
Right.
You got to chill.
Well, especially if you've gotten suspended before. Yeah. And that's the language of the NFL rules, is the second-time offenders get treated more harshly.
Yes.
And this was his second – and this, again, it's hard to call this an offense because nothing actually happened.
Right.
But that doesn't stop the NFL. The NFL will suspend guys sometimes for, you know, basically whatever they want.
Yes. That's why when we first started talking about this, and I kept saying – I don't know what Roger's going to do, because you didn't. I mean, Roger, he just, you know, he could be – he's definitely not like he was when he first came in. But, yeah, he's still a little
iffy. Well, he still goes by his own rule book. And that's why you have to be really, really careful, especially if you're a guy who's been in trouble before. So, anyway, Ezekiel Elliott, no discipline for the incident in Las Vegas. So we can move on from that one. All right, Randy, did you ever come to a point in your NFL career where – you needed to sort of hit the reset button?
No.
Never?
No.
There was never a season where you're like, yeah, you know, that season wasn't quite what I wanted. I want to come back next year and really be better.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, everybody has that professionally, right. Whether it's you're an accountant or a teacher or a radio host or an NFL football player. We all, you know, you have those check-in points. Like, I want to do better. When that happened for you, what did you do? How did you go about making sure that you hit the reset button in the correct way?
Just went back and just, you know, reevaluated my game and everything, and just had to work on stuff that I knew was slipping, but I didn't work on it as hard as I could to bring it back where it was.
Watch tape?
No, I always watch tape. I'm just talking about physically and everything, my diet and all that. And I tried to do a little different workout in the offseason, and it worked.
My guy John Ross is at that point of his career. John Ross is trying to reset his NFL career because it's not gotten off to a very good start.
No, see, John Ross, the thing with him is that his soul is still in there, over there. Well, the Georgia Dome.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, the Georgia Dome.
John Ross, the ghost of John Ross, is actually, now it's the Home Depot.
It's Home Depot, yeah.
The
yeah.
tailgate zone.
Yeah, because
you can see, if you go over there at night, you can see the ghost of John Ross flying around, the number one purple and gold jersey that Minka Fitzpatrick took from him.
Yes, took his soul.
In the first half of that college football playoff game. Yeah, that's the problem, because John Ross is going to try to change numbers.
Uh-huh.
That's what he's doing to try to reset his NFL career.
Let's hope it works.
From number 15 to number 11.
Oh.
But you're right. He needs to go over there to where the Georgia Dome used to be and have an exorcism.
Yeah.
And try to get his – or just go over to Minka Fitzpatrick and ask for it back. Yeah, Maybe he'll give it to him.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, he's still a young player who – I mean, a lot of people were surprised at, you know, number 9 overall by the Bengals, and has not been able to stay healthy. I mean, he caught a touchdown here last year against the Falcons, got hurt on it. I mean, you catch a touchdown and you get hurt.
Yes. That was the – not the single most, probably the second most John Ross moment of his career. The single most John Ross moment of John Ross's career was running the fastest 40 in combine history.
And then getting hurt.
And getting hurt while doing it. That's John Ross to a T right there. Now, he scored a lot of touchdowns at UW, and I'll always be indebted to him for being such a good player and helping lead the Huskies to the college football playoff.
But
when they got there, there was some soul snatching that went on.
Yeah, that's okay.
I remember the whole game changed. When Minka Fitzpatrick hit him like that. Everything changed.
We're like, oh, well, that's a wrap.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. These guys are different.
Yeah, it's a different, it's a different brand.
We were hoping that wouldn't happen in this game. It happened, and then they blew up the Georgia Dome, so he can't even go back there and get it back. All right, here's another story here that I find interesting as we continue on in the NFL No Huddle, and I think this is a sign of things to come. We'll see. I'm interested to get your take on it too, Randy. So the new Tottenham Stadium in London, it's a soccer stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Is being built like an NFL stadium. They're building it to accommodate, because soccer stadiums and NFL stadiums have different nuances, different sight lines, different needs, and things like that. This is the first time that London or England has built a stadium like this. Does that say anything?
No.
It doesn't say anything to you?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, it says something to me.
What did it say to you?
You know dang well they're trying to put a team over there.
I know they are. I don't think they will.
Why not?
Nobody wants to live in London and play no football.
Do you think that they care about that?
They do not. They do not
care. I mean,
care.
That would be great if they took the players' input into it, but they don't care about that.
It's been about 4 years now that everybody's saying, well, Jacksonville is because it's going to probably end up being Jacksonville.
Yeah.
It's going to move over there. I don't see it happening. I don't. But they're trying.
I do.
They're trying. I mean, let's just call it what it is. In those games, hey, the turnout is really good.
It is.
It's really good turnout and everything. But
twice or three times a year.
I don't see anybody wanting to move over to London and having to keep flying back. I don't see it.
I don't either. I don't see it. I'm with you. And if it was a democracy, then it probably wouldn't go over
there.
But it's not.
No.
If he wants to do it and he's willing to spend money on it, and Roger Goodell and the NFL owners.
He's a tire guy, too.
Tires?
I think he's a tire guy.
That's what he does?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. That seems like a good business to get into. Everybody needs tires.
Yeah, I think he's a tire guy.
If they can justify it financially, because that's the NFL wants to get Roger Goodell's sole goal right now in his career before he retires is to get the NFL to being a $25 billion a year business.
Yes.
And he's going to do everything he can to make sure that happens.
Right.
They're going to try to get all of the broadcast dollars that they can get in this new CBA and the new broadcast rights deals that they're going to sign after they get to the CBA. They're going to try really hard not to come down on that 52-48 split in revenue so the owners can continue to make crazy money. And if he thinks that going to London is going to expand their footprint and make it so they can make more money, because here's the thing. That expands that broadcast network, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Get some more broadcast money, then I think it very well could happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. Do they want it to happen? Or they want it to happen?
The NFL wants it to
happen. They want to happen real.
What if
real
they
bad.
Do a thing like, remember what the Rays are going to do now with Montreal?
Yeah.
Play half the games in Tampa.
I still don't see how that's going to work.
Half the games in Montreal.
I still don't see how that's going to work.
It's not a great situation.
It's not a great situation, but. I mean, Jacksonville plays with two games a year over there already.
So play six more. How hard is that?
I don't see that happening, man. Because I don't know. Because, like, as a player, do you really want to go over there and play? My thing is, I'm all about money. Like, the taxes over there. I mean, come on, man.
I don't know how any of that works.
But
they pay you in euros?
That's what I'm saying.
Is that how that works?
I thought England was pounds.
I think it's both. I think, pounds are the English currency.
Yeah.
But I think euros you can use anywhere in Europe.
Okay.
I don't know anything about that. I'm not an economist.
But the thing about it is that I want that. No?
Again, that's great.
That's my cash.
That's really great.
It sounds good, though.
It does. That sounds really good. Is that what you want? Great, great. Go get some crumpets. Some more tea celebrations after you score a touchdown. Hey, Atlanta United supporters, you could join 92.9 The Game and Peach Pass on Sunday, July 7th. That's this Sunday, starting at 9 a.m. in Lot A of the Gulch parking lot with the Esperanza Supporters Club. 92.9 The Game will have prize giveaways, and Peach Pass will have soccer games to get you ready for the match. Stop by the tailgate, hang out with 92.9 The Game and Peach Pass. Conquer traffic with Peach Pass.
Esperanza, they do it big. And then my guy who does the cooking, oh, man.
Fans are going to need to bring it on Sunday because the team did not have it on Wednesday. They're going to need that extra juice. Hopefully the home field helps against Red Bulls because they were a disaster against Chicago. We'll come back and get back into the Braves. And this article from the AJC where Mark Bradley sat down with Alex Athopoulos. Also talk about our most surprising Braves of 2019 as well. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker, Randy McMichael, two brothers from another mother. Only on 92.9 The Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what we're looking for.
That's our guy. Tony Garmin, he just sent that to us on Twitter. Tony,
thank
you so much. That is awesome. That's all we're looking for, something like that.
That's it. Just stuff like that.
Yes.
A little catchphrase in there, whether it's something Randy and I have said, whether it's something you want to say about us. Brothers from another mother. That's a good way to put
it.
What do we ask for those? At 10:40?
Yes.
It's 11:20, and we've already got one that we played on the air. That's one of the things I love most about sports radios. Everything happens so immediately like that. So thank you, Tony. Plenty more room where that came from if you guys want to get in. Basically, as we mentioned earlier, they created all these rejoins for us. And
they're not talking to us.
They're fine. Yeah, there was no consultation.
Yeah, there was no consultation.
It all happened so quickly, you know, that they didn't have time. That's a joke. But so basically, the ones that we got are fine, but I don't think they really sound like the show. So we're hoping you guys would, listeners out there would send us some. Tony did. That's great. And if you want to do the same thing, you can send it to Wendy at Wendy Radio on Twitter, or at 929 The Game or at TBM 929, my Twitter, wherever you send it, we'll see it. And look, that took 40 minutes. We got it on the air. I wouldn't be surprised if we're able to get a couple more in today as well. All right. Coming up in 20 minutes, speaking of Wendy, the Wendy Zone, Wendy Adams in studio with a handful of different stories to get into. Top of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll get back into the most important audio in the world. But before we do, a few more Braves things to get into here. One of them being, Mark Bradley's sit down with Alex Anthopoulos. This must have happened last night or maybe yesterday afternoon.
Probably afternoon.
It was published this morning in the AJC.
Question,
yes.
It's not going to be a rebuttal, right? Like another sit down next week or tomorrow
like in the Athletic,
like
right?
The Athletic. Yeah.
Well, no, because that was him, and it was the other guy too that was in there with him. It was the other guy. I forget who is it. Like, is the president of baseball operations or something like that? Who had the quotes? Anybody remember his name? No, nobody. All right, I'll look it up, or someone will tell me on Twitter. It was his quotes that were the ones that they had to go back on because he was the one talking about shopping in every aisle and all that stuff. And then they went. Now, what Alex Anthopoulos said though, and he said this on Dukes and Bell's show, was that was all one interview.
Yeah,
there was no second interview. There was no go back and fix it interview.
That? No.
If they keep winning, I'll believe anything Alex Anthopoulos says.
Go ahead, you know what I'm saying?
Here's what Alex Anthopoulos said when he was asked about Mike Foltynewicz. Because the first question that Mark Bradley asked him was about the rotation in general and going out and trying to add another arm. He said, we've got the talent. We just can't really say what the results are going to be from the talent. And he's right.
Yeah.
He then went on, Mark Bradley did, to ask about Folty, and he said, how important is Foltynewicz this year and beyond? And Alex Anthopoulos said, there's no doubt what his impact can be. Started game one of the NLDS for us last year, and it wasn't by default. He earned it. You look at the numbers he put up last year with the strikeout rate and his ERA and everything else, the biggest change has been his slider is not the same. The development of his slider is going to be very key for him. Mike Foltynewicz, when we asked the question, who's been the biggest surprise for you this season for the Braves, is probably my answer. And unfortunately, that's one of the guys, if there's one or two that are on the negative side. I'm surprised Folty has taken this large of a step back. I know part of it was due to injury in the spring, but he's healthy now.
He's healthy,
and
exactly.
I understand that it's been getting frustrated on the mound and dealing with his emotions and all of that stuff. It just seemed to me like he had gotten through that last year, I guess he hadn't.
And again, I take nothing away because I know how talented he is, but I kept saying this all last year. I said, but are we sure he's the guy? I was my whole thing with Folty. Knew he had the talent and all that, but I kept saying, do we think he's the guy? And right now what you're seeing is that he's not, as far as mentally wise, he's not ready to take that throne. But again, they need Folty. They need that guy in this pitching rotation because I think he's the most talented out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do. It's just as far as pure talent. I think he should be the best pitcher.
He is.
And when you lose like that, because we were talking about it last week, Andy, when you look at coming into spring training, you remember we were talking about it's going to be Folty, it's going to be Newcomb, it's going to be Gosman, and Tookie, and all these guys. And the one guy we kept leaving out all the time was Julio Teheran.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the only guy in the damn pitcher rotation from spring training?
Julio Teheran. Making a start tonight against the Marlins.
Julio Teheran.
He's like a cockroach. You can't kill him. The apocalypse comes and, well, everything's dead except for cockroaches and Julio Teheran. Now, that's he's been really good this year. I don't want to diminish what he is.
We've been trying to get rid of Julio for 3 years.
Can't get rid of him. He goes five strong, gives up one run.
But, no, they got to get Folty back. I mean, whatever is going on, and he didn't have a great outing up in Gwinnett, but whatever's going on with them, they need that guy. If they're not going to make a move, they need him in his pitcher rotation.
And I don't think, based on, and I'll read the quote from the first answer again, I don't think they want to make a move. And the question from Mark Bradley was, do you think you have enough starting pitching to get you through October? And he said, we have enough talent. I can't tell you what the performance is going to be, but we have as much upside as anybody. And I agree with that. When it comes to Bryce Wilson and what we saw from him the other night, fantastic.
Yeah.
Mike Soroka, all season for the most part. I know the first inning last night wasn't great, but the upside there, the demonstrated ability for the majority of this season. Max Fried, same thing.
The thing with Mike Soroka is just got to keep him healthy. I mean, that's been everything that people have been saying about him is like his health. Can we keep this young man healthy? Because when he's on. Like you said, I had a problem with how the game started with him, but you're right. He's settled down, and that goes back to when we talk about that mental toughness that he has at such a young age.
He has that.
Yes.
It also goes back to the question about innings counting and pitch counting.
Yeah, 100.
That question was asked by Mark Bradley as well. Are you concerned with the number of innings Fried and Soroka are going to work, and will you do anything to modulate that? That's a good question. I like that word. That's a Thomas Dimitroff type question.
It is really good work.
Anthopoulos said, we're aware of it. We talk about it. We're on top of it. There's just an unknown. Okay. So that's the other part of the equation, Randy. And again, this to me, this all leads up to a simple answer. which is,
are you or aren't you?
You're going to have to add something.
Are you or aren't you?
Well, I think that they are going to limit the innings. Like we just know that they are. I mean, that's the unfortunate reality of 2019 in Major League Baseball is front offices are they believe in that philosophy. They believe that a certain number of pitches or innings is too much for a young pitcher.
Well, he had 100 pitches yesterday.
He did. Exactly 100 pitches. And that's not a coincidence. Because he could have stayed in to face one more batter. And if he would have faced that one more batter and gotten him out, he would have qualified for a win. He could have had 10 wins before the All-Star break, and that would have been the rookie record for the Braves. But they don't care about that.
Nope.
They care about Mike Soroka's arm being healthy in September and October, and I think that they're right to care about that. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the over-softification of the way that we treat pitchers. But, I mean, you can yell at the wind all you want. It's still going to blow.
Exactly. Like, it's not, unless you're one of those guys, and we don't know if Mike Soroka can be one of those guys, you're not going over 100. You know what I'm saying? Like we were talking to Aaron Nola, how many did he throw against the Braves the other day?
117?
117 pitches. He can do that, though. You know, that's nothing to him. You know, but for some reason, and you said it, and we talked to Smoltz, and that's basically what Smoltz said. You worried about pitch count. They didn't worry about pitch counts back then. I'm sure John Smoltz was not like, okay, where I'm at, Skip. Where am I, Skip? Oh, you're at 91. All right, I'll give you about 30 more. I mean, that's just the mentality that they had. And we also know that baseball is going to more, you know, let's use our bullpen more. I mean, so many, the game has changed because of the fact is that, would you call it softification?
Yeah. Softification. Probably an unfair way to put it.
No. You're dead on with that. That's what I'm saying. No, the softification.
I think we call it the institutional softness of baseball because it's not the individuals. Like, Mike Soroka's not soft. Mike Soroka would have stayed out there if you let him.
I mean,
Mike Soroka is controlled by Brian Snitker, who's controlled by the front office, who's controlled by the general feeling of baseball in 2019.
I think any pitcher that's out there would want to stay out there. Nobody wants to get pulled.
Except for there used to be a guy named Eric Bedard who would pull himself at 100 pitches. But other than that, he used to play for the Orioles back in the day. And as soon as he got to 100, he would raise his hand.
Hey, Skip.
What do you tap your head when you're tired? Yeah. I need one. I need somebody to come in and get me. I think that those are all fair worries as we look ahead to October. Who's the guy for you, Randy, if you had to identify someone as your biggest surprise, positive or negative, in the Braves this season?
Both of them. I'll say the negative one is definitely Fulton Evans because, you know, I didn't know if he could be that number one guy, but from everything I was hearing going in the spring training before we found out how he was injured, he was supposed to be that dude. He was going to take that next step. Like you said, he started the playoff game for, he was an all-star, all these things. That was my expectation. Okay, we don't got one of those guys, but we got a good one.
Yeah.
And that was your whole thing, your whole mindset. And Dansby has to be mine, positively, because – he's healthy, and you see the impact that he has when he's right. And you could tell that he was working this offseason. They say he's working out with Chipper this offseason. And you could see all that hard work has paid off. And my man, Chuck, I give it to him. He said he can be a 2,000 guy.
Mm-hmm.
He did say that. And, I mean, he's well on his way. But, yeah, the way he's playing has been, you know, especially since they moved him to the two-hole, he's been doing his thing.
I remember Brian Jordan said that at spring training. We were doing our preview show, and we're going player by player, talking about expectations and, you know, legitimate expectation and certain guys maybe needing to bounce back, certain guys taking the next step, all that stuff.
Yep.
And Brian Jordan, just like Chuckery did, he said it over and over again. If Dansby is as healthy as he says he is, then Dansby can be that guy.
Yeah.
He can hit 20, 25 home runs. He's got that power. Mm-hmm. And Brian Jordan's take was always, he hit 14 home runs last year with a
bummer,
basically
wrist.
A broken wrist. He's healthy. And we talked to Dansby at spring training, and the thing that stood out to me was, I asked him about, you know, what's different? Like, what can you do, what can't you do that, you know, changed because of the wrist? And Dansby said, well, I can put on a backpack and a shirt now, and it doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, hang on, what?
Simple thing.
Last year, when I tried to put on my T-shirt or, you know, a shirt that I would put on, I had to do it differently because my wrist was so banged up. He said he remembered the first time he put on a backpack and it didn't hurt him this year, he called his mom. Uh-huh. Like, okay.
I mean,
that's great. Imagine not being able to put on a backpack without it hurting and then trying to hit a slider.
Yes.
That's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously his health has made a really big jump this year. He might not just be 20 and 100.
He might
hit 30 home runs this year.
But see, that's where I'm at with him is that's my expectation now. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times when, you know how I am, when somebody has one good season, I'm like, okay, let me see you do it again. You know, like Patrick Mahomes, I think Patrick Mahomes has the goods.
Sure.
But I got to see him do it again. This is what Dansby, this has been the expectation since he's been here. But now he's not the face of the franchise. He's not on the covers of the billboards and all those things. That expectation of him being from here and being the number one overall pick, even though it wasn't by the Braves, that's all gone now. And he just go, and I think a lot of that has helped him also where he can just go play ball.
Well, and right. I agree with you. There's so many other guys now, too, that shoulder that load.
Yeah.
I mean, Ronald Acuna is he's the face. And depending on what happens next week, he could elevate his status even higher in the game of baseball. Now, they released the bracket for the home run derby. Mm-hmm. He's going up against Josh Bell.
All right.
And I watched they did a Baseball Tonight. They don't really do Baseball Tonight anymore.
I
don't know why.
I think they canceled the show.
It's a great show. I don't know why they got rid of it. One of the few shows that was still good on that station. They did their bracket reveal, and they spent, even though we agree Acuna is blossoming, they spent a lot more time talking about Josh Bell than they spent talking about Ronald Acuna.
Really?
Yeah. And everyone predicted that Josh Bell would beat him too.
All right. Well, we'll see.
There we go.
I hope he does beat him so he can only have to go one round.
You're such a negative Nancy.
Oh, how about you?
What?
Rooting against Venezuela the whole time.
Because I want my guy back.
Well, it didn't help.
Dustin Martinez had nothing to do with what happened on Wednesday night against the Chicago Fire. If he was on the field, maybe they would have played. He didn't even go with them to Chicago. All right. Yeah. We'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone. Keep sending us your rejoiners. We need new, fresh rejoiners from the listeners. Wendy Adams in studio coming up next, working microphone and everything, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
11:40 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. That means it's time for the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams in studio, microphone on. Everything's great.
Microphone works in here.
How are you, Wendy?
I'm great.
How was your Independence Day?
Independence Day was fantastic. Yeah, I probably had a drink too many, but yeah. it was
fun. Fun text message last night.
I haven't been back through them, so I'm not really sure what all I said.
You were just you just really
happy.
You're happy.
Yes, very happy.
You were just really happy to work with me and Randy and Bo this week and Brian. Oftentimes, yes. It was very nice. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes. You're very complimentary of the show.
Do I need to go back?
No, you're good.
I need to go back and see what I said.
I love working with you guys.
I love working with you guys.
I love you guys so much now.
I said I love y'all so much. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's good.
Yeah.
We all feel the same way.
We do.
Sometimes it just takes a couple shots to bring it out. That's okay.
And I meant it. I meant it. I just don't remember saying or texting it.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm the person that just, please take my phone when I'm drinking. Just don't let me have it in my hand because I will just start texting away. And that's what happened. So we had food and libations. There was a lot of people. So yeah. We had a good 4th of July.
It would have been a real bummer if you started texting mean stuff. Like, I don't even want to come in and work with you guys tomorrow. You guys are the worst.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Nothing worse than being hungover around you jerks.
Yeah, you know, it's like drunk people tell the truth.
It's true.
They do.
Well, there it is. Yeah. I really love you guys so much. Just wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be even better. Well, we're and I'm very concerned about myself now. All right, so Kawhi Leonard watch. We're all wondering, is Kawhi going to stay? Is Kawhi going to go? Well, it's come to the point now where TSN, which is the big sports station in the sports network in Canada, have now resulted in flying helicopters and taping SUVs that might have Kawhi Leonard on them. So they literally will film a private plane that is coming in for a landing and seeing who is on it. And if it's Kawhi Leonard or someone who looks like a basketball player, they were following the SUV to give updates on whether he will stay or he will go.
Wow.
So the Lakers are also in that conversation, whether he'll go to the Lakers or if he'll stay in Toronto. So there is one very prominent Lakers fan who is also trying to recruit Kawhi Leonard. I'm going to play the clip. He posted this on Instagram, and I'm going to have you guys guess if you know who this is.
Okay.
Kawhi, tell me that you'll be a Laker.
Wow.
Kawhi,
that's new,
Kawhi,
man. That is so
come
awesome.
Back to L.A. They said, Kawhi, tell me that you'll be a Laker. Kawhi,
it's pretty good.
Kawhi,
it's
really good. Come back to L.A. Don't do Drake that way. Kawhi. You should sign back with them Lakers.
Back with them? He's never been with them.
Yeah, back with them.
Now tell me this. Right. Wendy, you saw the video, right?
That's Snoop Dogg, right?
Okay, yeah, Snoop.
Snoop's looking.
Did he have the head scarf on?
He did.
Okay.
He had the headscarf on. But the angle is very odd. You should probably go and look at it. The angle is a very odd angle. It kind of looks like...
down from the side?
He's filming himself from, like, his phone is down and his face is, like, so it's just, like, his chin and his forehead and... Yeah, it's just the very bizarre angle. It kind of
that's a pretty
but
good.
But he looks like creepy Snoop.
He got a nice hook though with it though.
Yeah, that's pretty
that's
good.
Damn
yeah.
good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And
now I don't know if it's going to help.
No, I don't either. But
that's might.
Pretty good.
Who knows? Because here's the thing: we said this a million times. I'll say it again. No one knows anything about Kawhi Leonard
at all.
I don't. I mean, Snoop might have met him before. Like, you know, celebrities meet each other sometimes.
He seemed like he's a cool cat though.
I mean, Kawhi?
Yeah, he seemed like once he's around you. You know, he seems like he's a cool cat, man.
Yeah.
This is the
I don't know. He seems weird.
Oh, look at that angle.
He seems like he'd be a really weird guy to be around.
See, those type of guys are the ones that are just cool, though.
Yeah, that's true.
The ones you can have a good time with.
Now, he did say all he's going to do to celebrate is drink alcohol and eat dessert.
Yeah.
So that was good. What it do, baby? When he what it do, baby? That was funny. That made me like him a lot more.
That was so funny. Man. I don't know why. It was funny because it was him. You know, that's
the way what, he said it was so funny too.
Yeah, because it was him.
What it do, baby?
I love Snoop Dogg. He does that thing on Jimmy Kimmel too, where there'll be like a nature scene, and he has to describe what's going on. Have you ever seen that?
No, but that
so
sounds
Jimmy
amazing.
Kimmel has him
Jimmy
on
Kimmel
every
has
now
great
and then
bits.
With Snoop Dogg, and he's describing all these scenes. Maybe I'll do that in TWZ on Monday. Just play one of those clips so you guys can hear it. It's pretty fantastic. Now, I wasn't aware of this story before it was brought to me and Randy's attention this morning by Hugh. Andy, you were not part of the conversation, so I wanted to bring it to the air because it's a very
nasty
video that went viral and could land this girl in jail for 20 years. So there is a video of a girl licking the top of a Bluebell ice cream tub and putting it back on the shelf. So her friend is telling her to do this, and she does it. And there's a video now. Police in Lufkin, Texas have identified her, and they're going to charge her once they find her with a felony. So that felony, it's tampering with a consumer product, could land you in prison anywhere from 2 to 20 years.
Wow.
So minimum is 2 years for this girl licking the ice cream. So she takes the top off and just licks it.
Why be nasty
it
like
it is
that?
Disgusting.
Yeah, why do that?
Why do
it's
that's
disgusting.
Why? That's my only thing with this young lady. Why'd you do it? All right? And I hope they find you. Now, 20 years, okay.
Right, that's ridiculous.
But throw her in jail. Throw her in jail, because that ain't right, man. That's just
Do you think
nasty.
She should get the 2 years then?
That's
because it's
still
like,
a little excessive.
That's still a long time.
How long?
That's a long time.
Then what's the punishment for licking
just
the ice cream?
Just give her like a weekend at Rikers or something.
What if you,
give her a weekend at Rikers or something.
What would her punishment be if you bought that tub of ice cream that she licked and you ate some of that ice cream?
I have a real issue.
Yeah, that'd be a real problem. Yeah,
so how many years is that if you actually bought, you're the ones that bought the ice cream?
That'd be a life sentence. She would have to go to jail
go to jail for life.
Yeah, that's
just,
really disgusting.
It's just disgusting.
It's nasty, and then it's stupid that you let somebody videotape you doing it.
Right. I mean,
and then you post it.
Like, that's the thing. Like
why
is,
post it?
It's obviously against the rules.
And it's pretty damn disgusting.
It's disgusting, no doubt. Yeah. But also, like, you have to at least think for one singular second, like, okay, I probably shouldn't be doing this, right? Whether or not you know it's, you got to think it's against the law.
Well, she
probably
didn't want to do it, and then her friend is over there egging her on.
What I'm saying.
Don't do it. It's nasty.
That's just nasty.
The problem with that, though, is I feel like that's one of those like Tide Pod things. It's really dumb. But a lot of people probably are going to do it now. So I just feel like buying ice cream is incredibly dangerous for the next 2 months.
Ice cream no more.
You got to be really careful or at least open it and see if there's a tongue track on it.
I mean, that's just nasty.
Well, maybe that's the reason why she should get prison time. Like a big prison time.
Or maybe they should just make her eat like all the ice cream in the store. You know, like if you were a kid, you got caught smoking a cigarette. Your parents would make you smoke the whole pack until you threw up.
Been there, done that.
Just make her eat the whole thing of ice cream. Make her eat the whole row of ice cream, and she probably won't do that stuff anymore either. I'm all for creative punishments.
But should, like, everybody just lick the ice cream that she has to eat first?
Or maybe for a year, every meal she eats, she has to hand it to a stranger. They lick it first, and then she has to eat it. Maybe the stranger has a cold. Maybe the stranger has the flu. She just has to deal with that for a year. I just think, you know, going to jail, that's boring.
Oh,
make her have to do something creative because
I mean,
that's a dumb thing to do.
What do you tell the other inmates? Like, why are you here?
That's my thing.
Licking ice cream.
What did our guy Jeff had a very funny tweet about this yesterday where he had a really good phrase where it was play stupid games, get stupid prizes or something like
that.
Yeah, that's what should happen. I like that. That's the good way. That's a good way of thinking of it. Is that what he said? Yeah, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. That's what happens.
So her prize is getting food licked on the rest of her life.
Her food gets licked for the next year.
That's just nasty.
It's gross. Now I'm going to start checking if I
You know what I think should happen too, while we're at it, while we're talking about punishment for people who do things that they shouldn't do? If you don't clean up after your dog's poop in public, you should have to eat
That's
it.
That's so maddening.
That's
you
so
should
nasty.
Have to eat
that
the poop.
That is so nasty.
That is so disgusting. Nasty.
You know, if you made somebody do that one time, they'd clean up their dog's poop forever.
I don't know if that lady, no, she probably ain't listening, but it's a lady that lives around on the other side over there.
And she doesn't pick it up.
And that little dog.
In your yard?
In the yard one time.
What?
And like, I was like,
Oh, no.
And walked off, and luckily I'm sitting by the window. When I was like, excuse me. Oh, I'm coming back to get it.
Are you? I'm going to stand here.
Did she come back?
You better come back.
Back. And I stood right there.
Good.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
That's just so nasty.
Well, because I'm going to be the one stepping in it. Right. Like, why didn't you pick this up?
Exactly. Exactly right. I spent probably 15 solid minutes cleaning up the backyard yesterday. Because, you know, you get lazy sometimes. Yeah. All right, go back there, do your business. And then, you know, I'll get it later. And then that happens for a week. And that's what happened. So I got back there, you know. I had to get back there and clean up after Boone yesterday.
The pooper scooper.
Yeah, a little pooper scooper. Yeah.
Pooper scooper. By the way, did you see, we always talk about fireworks. There's always going to be something that happens on the 4th of July that doesn't go as planned. Well, and the New York Mets minor league team's fireworks show didn't go really as planned. So it's the St. Lucie Mets, the single-A team of the Mets, located in Port St. Lucie, Florida. They tried to do that fireworks show after the team's game yesterday, and it set off a fire in the back of the stadium. It's like a construction area where they're like rebuilding stuff. It's massive. Massive fire.
I saw a video of a fireworks stand or fireworks store that caught on fire. Oh. Guess what happened? Fireworks show. It's crazy.
A really lengthy fireworks
Barrett
show.
Salee, the CBS college sports writer,
had
it on his Twitter if you want to check it out. Uh-huh. It looks like the grand finale of a fireworks show, but it's coming out of the roof of this fireworks store.
That's
it's crazy.
Insane.
I think it was in Texas or Florida or something like that.
We hear nobody heard about anybody losing no limbs, though.
That's what's important. That's what's important.
Yeah. Just be very careful because I know people are still going to do fireworks this weekend.
Yeah, you probably didn't get all your fireworks out last night. Be careful. All right. Thank you, Wendy. Wendy will be back in an hour for Sports Jeopardy, which.
With listener questions.
I feel like I'm probably going to win it today, but I don't know. Maybe not. We'll see. Coming up next, though, the most important audio in the world to kick off the noon hour. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Well, he peaked game right now. He's saying it. You watch. Oh, get out of there, man. Go. Did you see the feet on him? Oh, they coming from everywhere, cuz. This is crazy. Oh, that's f***ed up. He has just entered into Snakeville, USA.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.